And that's my turn. I'd like to use some scriptures along the way just to be a framework for what I want to say. In his life, my dad, Armin Bode, was not a perfect man. He'd be the first to say that. He'd failed in many areas, but he was a saint. That's a biblical word. It means someone who's been redeemed of his sins by the grace of God because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was a man of faith. Not that he never doubted, but he maintained his faith in the midst of trials. And he encouraged other people in their struggle of faith because he'd seen over and over and over and over again the faithfulness of God. He was a man of prayer. He prayed with his wife each day for his family, for his friends, for his grandchildren, for his great-grandchildren. I was in the car taking them to an appointment one day, and they hadn't had a chance to pray yet because it was too early in the day and for us leaving. And there they are in the car praying for these people as I'm riding down the road. I happen to be one of them, but they were praying for others. And it was wonderful to hear that taking place. He's a man of prayer. He's a man who saw himself as a servant of God, who loved people and wanted to help those who came in his path, who needed encouragement. And he gave them ideas from the words of the Scriptures. And God gave him ideas in his mind of experiences that he had that he brought to their lives that brought them hope as they had to deal with their situations. He was a man who loved his family and his children, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, especially his wife, whom he celebrated with 65 years of marriage in December. On the day he died, I took him to get an MRI, and you have to take off all metal. And so he took off his wedding band and put it on his table next to his chair. And I brought him in and came walking into the house. And he sat down in his chair and he reached over and he grabbed that ring and he said, "I've got to put this thing back on. I felt naked since I've had it off." As he looked in her eye and sort of winked. In his death, God answered my dad's prayer that he'd be able to live in his home until the day he went to his heavenly home. God graciously answered that. His homegoing was quick, painless. For those of you who don't know, he was sitting at his computer table. He said, "I feel dizzy." My mom said, "Put your head down on the desk." He did. There was a caregiver there also, and they put a pillow under his head, and he went to heaven. Medically, the doctors say he had a massive stroke in his brainstem. But he went to heaven. He didn't have to pass through the hospital. Went to the hospital, but that was just so that they could have somebody to sign the certificates and say that he died. Because he was in heaven. What a way to go. What an honored way to go. In his death, he was used by the Heavenly Father to answer a prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed the night that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to Calvary. Jesus prayed these words, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me." That part of that great prayer in John 17 was answered as Dad stepped into heaven and got to see Jesus in his glory. And he was a man who loved the Word of God. He loved the Bible. He read it every day. As you heard with his wife, he would read it every night before they'd go to bed. It was a source of strength for him and a vehicle which the Father in heaven used to change areas of his life that he didn't like but couldn't change in his own strength. I'd like to read some passages from that book that he treasured and just comment on them a bit. From the book of John, there are these great passages that read like this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. He came into His own, and His own did not receive Him. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. My dad was a churchman. I imagine he was in church when he was a little boy, probably months before he was born. He was in church. Always went to church. He was a churchman. But it wasn't until after I was born and my sisters were born that Dad really started a major walk with Jesus Christ. Through an event that took place where he was driving a car and two cars nearly intersected, and that they had a bunch of children in another car along with the children who he were carrying in his car would have died. I mean, it should have taken place, but somehow God did something and that did not happen. Metal did not meet. People did not get broken. And Dad was blown away by that and recognized the miracle of God. And at that point in juncture, he came home and talked to my mom. And together, she knelt with him as he said, Lord, I've been trying to run my own life. And I repent of that. And I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I want you to be Lord of everything. And my dad then started walking a different type of walk. It impressed a young boy who was a teenager at the time, living in the home, because he saw a major change in the attitude and disposition of this man who gave him life. Ephesians says, But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were in debt in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised up together, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. My dad was a trophy of God's grace. And he walked as a man who recognized God's working in his life. And the good works that he did, man, it's just reaching out and touching people. He was a people person. Those of you who know him know that. And he reached out and just touched a lot of people. They came in touch with him and he spoke to them and encouraged them and blessed them. And that was the work that God prepared for him to do. In Romans, Paul writes, For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestinated, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For he who did not spare his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore has risen, who even is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus. After my dad met the Lord, walking with him that way, he wrote out a little thing, and we had to say it every day. Made into a plaque, hangs by their door. Some of you have been in their house, maybe you've seen it. He took many of the words of Scripture and wrote these words: "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I place this day, my life, my loved ones, my work, in the Lord's hands. There's no harm, only good in the Lord's hands. Whatever happens, whatever results, if I'm in the Lord's hand, it's His will, and it's for my good and His glory. This is going to be a glorious day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, dear Lord." I remember going to school having said that. Every week I have the task of coming up with a verse. It's a joy, a joyful task, but coming up with a verse for our congregation. We put it in a graphic and send it out in email in different translations every day to people in our congregation just to maintain touch. And on the back of your bulletin, you'll see the verse that we chose for this week. Put up on the website on Sunday. Send out to our people Sunday. And on Monday, this verse had great import for my family. A lot of people come up during weeks and say, "Oh, that verse really meant a lot to me this week." Well, this week, this verse meant a lot to us. It's from Paul's writing to the Philippian church. In that letter, in the first chapter, he writes these words: "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For my dad, well, he came alive when Jesus Christ started moving strongly in his life. Moby Babcock wrote a hymn called "This Is My Father's World." He said, "Life is what we come alive to." I know some ladies who come alive to shopping. They shop and shop. They might be tired to get in a store and they just come to life. I go with my wife and that's not my gift. I go into a store, say, "I want that, that, and that. Does it fit? Yes, let's go." But she enjoys shopping, and I go with her sometimes, and she watches, because if there's a bookstore or books around, then I come alive. A lot of guys come alive on the weekends, especially the next couple of weekends as we have the playoffs for the football, because they come alive. Football. You see, it's like that. If Jesus Christ is your life, then all of a sudden you come alive to that. That becomes your life. When that comes your life, death is your gain. And my dad now is in heaven. Paul wrote and said, "Our citizenship's in heaven, from which we also eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And my dad had dual citizenship here in the United States, but he had a citizenship in heaven. And now he's taken up residence there. It's a great country. It's a great place to be. And he's there. John the Apostle wrote these words: "Now I see a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there's no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And then He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You know, heaven's a special place where dead is now. Some places are known for what's in them. D.C. You know it for the Capitol building and the Washington Monument and the mall that's there with the Smithsonian. New York, Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty. Paris, Eiffel Tower, sure. Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock and the Wailing Wall. But heaven's known not for what's there so much as what's not there. Did you hear it? No more death. Won't that be great? Because the pain of death is separation. And sorrow? Can you imagine an existence where there's no sorrow? Where there's no crying? Where there's no pain, where all the bad stuff's passed away. What a place that must be. You know, what it must have been for this man to breathe his last here and just breathe another breath in immortality. What it must be to feel invigorated again and find he's in heaven. What it must be to look upon the Savior who bought him and see the marks in his hands and fall to his feet and say, "I love you for what you did for me." What must it be to wake up and find yourself at home? Well, that's where my dad is. Death's a reality. Unless Jesus comes back, we'll all do it. Everybody has. But if you know this God who loves you with an infinite love, if you've come to Him and said, "Lord, I don't want to run my life. I want You to run my life. Forgive me of my sinful ways. I want You to be the one who owns me." If you've received His gift of salvation, then when that day happens for you, you'll breathe your last here and breathe a new air in heaven with the Savior in a new place with a whole bunch of other people who share in your homecoming and rejoice that you've run the race. You've finished your course. You've kept the faith. One last hymn. Would you join with me as we sing another hymn? This was one of Dad's favorites. It was a testimony of what happened to him. And can it be? Would you stand with me? We'll sing and then I'll close with a word of prayer.